DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Ruben Quesada, who is the director of the Catholic Resource Center and St. Joseph Communications, Inc. in Southern California. He is a recognized expert on the persecution of the Catholic Church in Mexico in the 1920s, and he has traveled internationally as a bilingual speaker, giving lectures on this subject for many years to all age groups. With Ruben Quesada, we go inside the pages of For Greater Glory, The True Story of Crisiada, The Cristero War, and Mexico's Struggle for Religious Freedom. Published by St. Joseph Communications and Ignatius Press. Ruben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. What an honor and a privilege to be here and share some of this.
Well, I could actually say that in regards to you and the work that you've done, it's an honor and a privilege to bring forward the true story of the Crisiadas from your book, For Greater Glory. What a phenomenal time to have this all come together. Thank you so much.
Yes, it really has been, you know, very providential, and what a great time for this film to come out so it can really put into perspective as to what we're faced with nowadays in our own society.
So many of us who have grown up in the United States never knew of the persecution of the church, which occurred less than 100 years ago. Could this really have happened and for us to be so unaware?
You know, it's always a great question. I like to really point out, you know, for something like this to be so hidden from the people's minds, the mentalities, you know, the history books. You talk about the power that pretty much any government has the capability of doing if they really set their minds to it. And I believe it, you know, one of the things that when I first started giving this lecture many, many years ago, each time I just, you started to see the power and the depth of this oppression, because, I mean, you talk about a three-year war, a religious persecution, thousands of people killed, martyrs, priests, laity. And, you know, the church suffered incredibly for 3 years, yet nothing was written in the history book. So everything was taken out for decades. So it is a little scary to think, you know, how much of that can affect society. And it's happened now. We, you know, thanks be to God to this film, the producers, the director, everybody who did a marvelous job. But I mean, looking at the reality, it's just chilling to think that something like this was hidden from the people's minds, and only the stories that we have are because those who survived this entire persecution told the stories, wrote about them, and even of course a lot of images that are still around that were illegal to even publish or to talk about this. I think that there's a great lesson learned, and we should really embrace that sacrifice more than ever, because we are faced with the same thing here in our own lives. And, you know, sometimes people don't realize that it can happen, and literally it is happening to a certain degree here.
Well, talk to us about the war.
What we should have known about the Cristiada was, first of all, I guess you could say literally the hatred that the president of the time had towards the church. Now, you can easily go into the mentality of, well, you know, this guy was evil and so forth. And yes, of course, you know, look at the horrible, the tortures, the executions, so forth. But you read about his story of President Calles. You know, he was raised an atheist. He was raised by a fervent atheist. His uncle, his mother passed away when he was 2 years old. His father left the family. So it really has a lot to do with the type of upbringing that he went through. So when he came into power, you know, he had this mentality, this vision that the church was going to be eradicated from the country. God was not going to be a part of the upbringing of every Mexican national. You know, to him it was the church was poisoning the mentality, the minds of the people, and he wanted to change that. So when you put that into perspective, you know, it certainly don't lead you to believe, you know, that a lot of this socialist utopia that was being built at the time in Mexico. And it really has, I mean, I believe in many ways when I talk to people about this, sometimes we don't fathom the effect it would have had these Cristeros, these Catholics who sacrificed everything, I mean, just, you know, shed their blood for religious freedom, what an effect it would have had also in the United States, because Mexico, if Mexico was being directed, it was being led into a socialist utopia country. I mean, now you're talking about all the other European countries who were socialists at the time. They had one of the biggest allies here that would probably, again, you never know, but the U.S. would be in dire, you know, very dire straits because of that. So, I mean, there's a lot to you can think about, well, what if this and what if that? Well, because of these men who did it out of love for their faith, they jumped, they supported the bishops right away when President Kais launched this attack to eradicate it with setting into place his new law, the Kais Law, with five articles of the Constitution that directly attack the church. You know, the first, and I give a lecture just over the weekend, and I tell people, I said, the first to respond to this atrocity, to this attack of religious freedom back then, were the bishops in Mexico. Well, now we have it here in the States. Who were the first ones who are opposing, you know, fervently this HHS mandate are the bishops, and we have to stand right behind them. You know, again, it is happening here to a certain degree, and we have to be prepared. So you go back again, going back to the war, the bishops were the first ones, and, you know, everybody was trying to get this law, you know, rescinded, you know, this, to lift this ban on our faith and our values and everything, our religious freedom. And eventually, just because, you know, each time that they tried to, you know, talk to Congress, left millions of signatures, and, you know, they were just ignored over and over again. A group of men just opted that there's no other way, there's no other alternative except enough to raise up in arms. And this is what began, you know, as this uprising to be able to defend religious liberty. So when the, you know, when the movie came out, you know, many people were like, oh, here's another Catholic film. And it was, it's just a, it's a shame that some many people stereotyped it as just like as a Catholic film, but it wasn't. It's a film about religious freedom, and you know that's how we were supposed to see it. It's what people were led to do to be able to protect their religious freedom and at the time. And I think that just is crucial to point out.
I've had the opportunity to see the film, and it's absolutely fantastic. And I encourage everyone to go. It is more than just a story; it's the reality of the people of Mexico. The work that you've done, Ruben, in the official companion to this epic film, it is more than just giving us production notes. You have really gone in and provided resources from not only the writings of the church at the time through Pius XI, but also offered the heart of that spirituality, those prayers to those blessed martyrs. Their stories in the depiction in the movie and in your book are just compelling and really so important for us to know.
Thank you. You know, that's, I think it was an important, it was very important for us to not just use it as a companion to the film, but also to go in depth, because once people will, I hope many people have already seen the film, and you know, you can only share, you can only put so much in a two-hour film, so at the same time, by going as a companion, we analyzed what questions were there going to arise, what questions would people have, and then go in depth, you know, and then also do it like in a chronological order, so we understand exactly how this began, how this occurred, who was behind it, what was the purpose behind it, you know, the outcome, what were the bishops doing, what was the Vatican doing, and many, many questions that can go unanswered, you know, in such a short film. But it's something that I believe was really set forth to educate people from the beginning, you know, not just, wow, it was a Catholic, the government suppressing Catholics, and they won. Catholics won in the end. You got to go, you know, deep into that study to understand how it became, persecution began, and what we can do to avoid something like that from happening. Because in one of the recent lectures that I gave, and I love sharing this because it's important for people to know this. I gave a lecture to about 350 people, all in Spanish, here in Los Angeles, in one of the parishes. So you're talking about 350, most of them born in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, they have family members, of course, and their family tree goes to the heart of Mexico where all this occurred. And I ask people every time, I said, how many of you present today know about this persecution? Out of 350 people, you'd be surprised, only about 10 people raise their hands. And that tells you a lot, because because this was, you know, it was taken away from the history books, people for many decades grew up knowing nothing about this. So when people don't know about the history, guess what? It can be repeated. And, you know, Mexico is going through its own persecution right now. The church, you know, there's, I think we showed on the book, too, how many priests, priests have been executed, yet it hardly comes out in the newspapers or in the media. There's priests who have not just executed, but have been under persecution. They've been intimidated, and that's how the church lives. You know, that's what's been going for a long time. So, you know, it's continuing, you know, even though a lot of people see, well, Mexico's a Catholic country. How can it? It's Catholic, all right, but, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that the bloodshed 80-some years ago is reoccurring once again, and we have to be ready for that. We have to be able to stand up, especially support our bishops for any religious freedom that is being violated. So,
well, I think it's important that we keep in perspective, Ruben, that for many of the people at the time of this persecution, the Catholics, if you were to practice your faith, if you were to express it, you may not be dragged out and martyred, but you could lose your property. You could be imprisoned. You could be put away and all lost without anyone knowing. That prevented many, because there's such a fear of that type of persecution. And we may not be called to be martyred like those great blesseds, but that same type of persecution can persist.
Absolutely. You know, that's very well stated, because it is the the perfect, you know, they painted a blueprint for us. And, you know, if we don't completely understand the fruits of that, because, you know, we right now, as I tell people, I said, we have this freedom that we don't even appreciate. We have this freedom that, you know, and again, maybe through no fault of our own, but now that the story's out, people need to understand this. They need to see. They need to learn more about these, you know, these blesseds, and to be able to say, my gosh, I can have the freedom to do this. I have the freedom to go to church. Yet, you know, I think it's a freedom that many take for granted nowadays. It's such a treasure for us, in our daily lives, to be able to go to Mass without being, you know, reprimanded, before we were persecuted, as you said. You know, the people were losing everything. You know, I mean, an example, what if you lost your entire home, your savings, just because you were caught celebrating Mass? You were at Mass. You know, something that people would be like, you know, nowadays, like, I'm not going to go to Mass. I don't want to lose everything. Yet people were doing it because they knew the value of that. They knew the importance of that. And, you know, to them, believe me, I think those people who are, and again, it's not pointing out to, you know, whether not lukewarm Catholics, but those people who go to Sunday Mass, you know, receive the sacraments continuously, frequently, if we were to be taken out of the sacraments, believe me, within a few weeks, we would become so desperate. Mm-hmm. That's a given. Mm-hmm. Because of the need of the Eucharist, because of the need of the sacraments, because of the need of confession, because of Mass, because of that. If that's taken away from us, people who have this joy, this, you know, who truly choose that right now, it would become a desperate time for us. And yet you saw exactly what happened 86 years ago. They could no longer stay silent.
Mm. Talk to us about the U.S. involvement. For most of us, we recall the 1920s as the Roaring Twenties and a time of flourishing for the United States. We really don't even look at what we might have done in foreign involvement. And yet, south of our border, we were very involved in what was happening.
Yes, you know, it is a sad to me. It's a sad reality to talk about it, but we have to. Again, we're talking about the reality of persecution without trying to cover any wrongdoing. You know, there was a lot of wrongdoing from many people at the time too, and you know, we can't go in full depth. But what did happen at the time was when President Caius came into power. He came into power in 1924, and he actually initiated. See, at the time, all the oil fields in Mexico, most of the oil fields in Mexico, were owned by the U.S. and by Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And again, because President Caius oftentimes traveled back to Europe and, you know, started learning a lot about what socialist country or leaders would be doing to their own people, to their own within their own power. He came back to Mexico and he completely took over the oil field. So, you know, the U.S. had millions of dollars in oil interest in, you know, in the Mexican oil fields. Well, President Calles kicked them out, just don't, and Great Britain as well. And what he stated was, anything under this ground in this country belongs to us, belongs to the state. And so the U.S., of course, was losing tons of money, a lot of money. So when this persecution, this attack on the church, and this uprising of Cristeros fought back, the president really had no idea that it was going to grow to such a magnitude of a war that he really didn't think much of it. But eventually, down the road, as we see it in the history of as the story goes, and you know, and it's how it continued to affect the entire country, the economy, and so forth. He couldn't do it. He couldn't eliminate this uprising. So the U.S. in the meantime was interfering, trying to find out what, you know, trying to be a peacemaker, but at the same time they were trying to gain interest in oil fields, you know, trying to get that back to the country, back to the U.S. So there is a scene in the film, and you know, it's also, of course, it is part of the history that President Calles asked the U.S. what they could do to support them to fight this persecution, or to continue fighting the persecution. And the U.S., of course, says, "Well, what are you going to give us in return? You got to have a gesture from your behalf, that you know, a goodwill gesture." So, okay, you know, you can have some of the oil back. We'll talk about that, but I need airplanes. I need military power. So the U.S. became directly involved in this persecution for the interest of the petroleum. And you know, it is a shame, but that's part of the history of how this occurred. So the U.S. did have did support this military wise, you know, in order to gain back its millions of dollars in oil interest at the time. And you know, just something that we see, a small, you know, it's a small part of the film, but that's exactly what was happening.
To its credit, the Knights of Columbus did to try to help the church in Mexico.
Yes, you know, absolutely. You know, that's an important thing to bring up. You know, the Knights of Columbus were a great influence also, you know, at the time. Another thing that is important to share is that the bishops here in the U.S. also did an incredible job, you know, very, very a Christian brotherhood. They, you know, most of the bishops, I believe all the bishops in Mexico went to exile. They came up to the U.S., and they were received here by the U.S. bishops. They were, you know, given a place to stay, whatever they needed throughout this persecution. You know, the bishops also were influential. The Knights of Columbus, you know, putting pressure on, raising funds to support this, and you know, not on the battlefield, but you know, any peaceful means to be able to fight back. You know, like as you see the character Blessed Anacleto, played by Eduardo Verástegui. You know, every means, there's many ways to fight back this oppression, this persecution, and you know, always through peaceful means. So there are many Catholic groups who were very, very instrumental on fighting this persecution, but not on the battlefield. So you know, there was a lot of movements, there was a lot of groups, everybody doing their own share in order to support this, you know, this uprising and this religious defense.
I was so excited when they really lifted up the role of Blessed Angelito González Flores, who I think it was an ordinary man, a father, a husband, who did an extraordinary thing with grace. It shows you what one man can do to rally others, to spread that fire. And he would suffer that martyrdom, wouldn't he?
He did. You know, his character, whom I came about, I remember when Eduardo Verástegui was filming, because this film was actually filmed 2 years ago in Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's been 2 years since they started the production, and Eduardo, you know, and I was actually helped him in many ways to learn and to see and to read Blessed Anacleto's writings. He needed to get inside of his head to understand exactly what kind of man he was. So I was very, very blessed to work with Eduardo on this character. You know, I was a part of that direction that he was doing for the film. And you know, afterwards, what he portrayed in the film, in the book, in the companion book, he writes a short introduction also. and really tells about, I mean, his passion was to truly understand this man of God. He says, it really feels like I received so much more by portraying this character than what I put into him. And just because he was, you know, as he says, he says, one word that I can describe, Blessed Anacleto, a man, it said integrity. That's exactly what he stood for. And always, of course, doing everything, you know, God's work through peaceful means. The only minor detail, and I guess this through our because of artistic direction they do, and it happens often in films, is that the way he is portrayed, the way he is martyred on film, is nothing close to the real life martyrdom that he went through. And I think it was not included according to, I believe the producer's assistant, that is, it could have been too violent for people. Because he did suffer an incredible, horrendous martyrdom, and not like you see on the film. And I won't go into it because I want people to see the film, but I also want them to read the whole story of Anacleto.
It's so poignant, too, the portrayal of Blessed Jose Sanchez del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
It was a true story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Joselito's story, you know, portrayed by Mauricio Curi, this young kid, I mean, it's just phenomenal. He did a phenomenal job with the character because I've been traveling, giving this lecture in English and Spanish, and I include him. He's part of my presentation. So when he came out of the film, you know, I was paying very close attention to every detail because I've been reading the books and actually seen some videos that I've received from Mexico on this for quite a long time, and it was to a T. I mean, the young kid did a phenomenal job. And this young kid being, you know, a 14, 15 years old at the time of this persecution, he experienced his local priest being executed by the government just for being a priest. So, you know, because of these atrocities, these attacks, I mean, such a horrendous, you know, regardless of human life, just the hatred towards the church, led a lot of people to fight, to defend, even just out of human dignity. So this young kid wanted to join the Cristeros, and, you know, he was turned away because he was just a kid. Well, he insisted until he joined, you know, one of the Cristero uprisings. And, you know, this young kid, and as it is in the film, you know, he actually, during one of the battle scenes, the general who was in charge, and it's not the one you see in the film, but, you know, I'm sorry, the general at the film, I'm sorry, it wasn't Gorostieta, because Gorostieta is played by Andy Garcia. This one general in his platoon, you know, his horse is shot. It's wounded. So because the federales are coming up, he in turn gives his horse to the general so that he could leave, he could escape. And little young Jose, you know, is captured by the government forces. And he is, as you see in the film, he is beaten. You don't see him getting beaten, but he is beaten. He is tortured. His feet are completely slashed with a knife. I mean, you see the film, and it's just, oh my gosh, it is a powerful scene. And exactly how he was forced to walk down with his bloody feet all the way down to the cemetery where he is eventually, you know, stabbed and shot. And we have this first-hand account because there's a priest who also just passed away not too long ago. And he experienced this entire thing because he was a childhood friend with Jose, little Joselito. Mm. So, you know, the story is just phenomenal. You talk about bravery, courage from a 15-year-old kid. Man, how I wish, you know, our young kids would have that love for Christ, that courage to be able to not deny their faith and to be able to do everything for Christ the King. And, you know, He really took the cake for the film. You know, Andy Garcia did a great job as General Gorostieta. I mean, they both did. But this young kid really, I mean, he just really stood out. And, I mean, God has blessed him because I've met him already two or three times at the previews and at one of the private screenings. And the young kid is just so passionate about his faith now. I mean, he says, this film changed my life. He says, I don't know what to say except thank you. He says, thank you, God, because, you know, he was just a young kid, you know, young actor.
Praise God. I would say it's a must for every confirmation class to see this, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Believe me. That would have been, I think that's an excellent idea. Even to every parish to grab a copy of the film and show it to every confirmation class, I'm all for it. Because I'm a confirmation teacher as well in my local parish, so I know what a powerful testimony would be to our future, young Catholics out there. So, it really has been a phenomenal role.
To see the movie would only give you a slice. To get Ruben's book along with seeing the movie, I think it gives you a much fuller picture. I mean, to realize that over 25,000 people, was it, that were killed in this
It was actually 90,000, about 90,000.
Oh,
25,000 from the Cristeros and about 65,000 from the government forces.
My goodness. And to get to know their stories, they deserve to hear it because they are the martyrs of this continent. I mean, they are North American martyrs, literally.
They are, exactly.
We don't have to turn to a continent across the sea to see that the church is vibrantly expressed.
Absolutely.
In that church militant. And, I just have to mention very quickly, as we address this, and he's not as prominent in the movie, but Blessed Miguel Pro, who yes. many may be more familiar with as the priest, to Vivo Cristo Rey. That was the battle cry.
That is correct. You know, the one thing that I remember the first thing I asked when the film was being produced was, will Father Pro be in that? And they said, well, there is already a film out by Blessed Miguel Pro. Mm-hmm. You know, it's called Padre Pro, and it's a bilingual film that's been out for maybe about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's also a nice production there on his life. So on this film, we wanted to bring to light other great martyrs. Not, Blessed Miguel Pro is of course a great inspiration because he is the icon of the persecution. He's one of the important icons of that. It was his execution that really led onto this uprising of more people just seeing what they were doing to our priests. So, what they wanted to do is with this film to really shed light on other great blesseds like Jose Sanchez del Rio, Anacleto Gonzalez Flores, and many others who have been, who have been given that beautiful title on with such beautiful ceremonies. But there's more coming. But also, most importantly, there are thousands more whose stories we will never know, and only God knows their sacrifice. So we really have, I think, by getting the copy of the book, it's and not just as a companion, but as a piece of history for us to have, really teaches in depth about this and what the church was doing trying to help this. There's the encyclicals there, like you said, Q&A, and there's other product there that people can look into that can really help them and to understand it more in depth about this. So I really hope they can pick up a copy of the book. We have it on our website at www.saintjoe, and that's spelled out SaintJoe.com, and you can pick up our book right there as soon as you can. I think it would be great for everybody to have it. So
highly, highly recommend it. God bless you for the work that you're doing, Ruben, and I hope that we get more insight from you. You sound like a very passionate member of the church militant. We need more of you.
We are blessed. I think it's been a great opportunity, a privilege to be here on the show, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you one of these days as I travel.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you as well.
With Ruben Casada, we've gone inside the pages of For Greater Glory, the true story of the Cruciada. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to either Ignatius.com or to SaintJoe.com, the website's for its publisher, Ignatius Press and St. Joseph Communication. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to DiscerningHearts.com. This has been a production of DiscerningHearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.